You all heard the little soprano? You can actually hear her singing that song. It's amazing that how the parents train Belle to be a singer already. She calls me Tata and my wife Amama. That's actually grandparents in Indian language. And as you probably know that Ashish's dad and my wife were classmates in the nursing school, so we know them for a long time. And so I haven't been here in a long time, and so good to see you guys. I have a very important question to ask you guys. Have I gained weight? Okay, thank you. So I'm going to straighten that out anyway. So it's always a good thing to talk about God and stand and share his message to people. We are talking today about the question that I always ask myself is that, am I a Seventh-day Adventist or everyday Christian? We only have three things to worry about. This long passage we read, three times Paul mentions about this. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. We have to learn from the past. We long for the future, but we live in the present. So we're going to examine one by one. The author actually reminds us, the Hebrews author, we think it's Paul, but we do not know for sure, he reminds us about our past. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts like your ancestors did, their carcasses lying down in the desert because they didn't make it. That was the past. Past is a hard thing to shake. Some of us are very proud of our past. Some of us are prisoners to them. I'm not proud of my past at all. I'm not saying I did some bad things, but I was wasting my time away. Actually, I wasted my time so much when I was young. Now I get so scared of time wasting. So I kind of overcompensate for it. Every time I think of not doing things, then I'll be like very restless and I have to be more productive because I don't want to go back to that situation I was in before. We cannot erase the past. The best way to deal with it is to learn from it, right? I've known a lady who was on her fifth alcoholic husband. And five times she married alcoholic husbands, and five times she divorced, and I'm not sure why. Because I asked her in Houston one time, I said, why don't you learn from the previous ones? Apparently, she thinks she can convert these people, make them good, but she was not able to succeed. In the year 1994, I just came from home and turned on the TV from work, actually from work to home, and then turned on the TV, and I saw a news item there. In Africa, in Rwanda, there was a small news item that said that there's some skirmishes going on. The parliamentary building was taken captive, and all the political officers, the president and vice president, whoever it was, and they were held captive. And next thing you know, between 7th April and 15th July, there was Rwandan civil war between Hutus and Tutsis. According to the calculations, I think there were about 500,000 to 1 million Rwandans were killed. Most of them were Tutsis. And it wiped out, they say, 70% of Tutsi population. The genocide that has the long-lasting effects on. So what happened? Why this happened? They could not understand that, but they did learn from it in the future. They actually established a commission called National Unity and Reconciliation Commission. And they started working towards the national unity because you cannot live in the past. You have to move on with your present and also future. Next thing, we also long for the future. We long for it. We like to see what is in future. How many of you like to know what is in future for you, right? There's not a day goes by that somebody comes and asks me about, they want to know if they have this particular gene that makes them predisposed to this particular illness in the future. Now, you don't need to have a doctor for that, right? If you go online and Ancestry.com or 23andMe, they have the gene studies that will tell you if you, in future, are going to get a disease like Alzheimer's. But I asked them, why do you want to know if you're going to get the disease in the future? Maybe there is something that I can do about it. There's nothing you can do about it except worry about it, because there's a possibility, not even certainty. There's only 25%, 30% possibility that you might get that disease in the future, and you're killing yourself now because worrying about the future. Everybody likes to know what future beholds, right? The election predictions in the United States are very funny. I was reading about this the other day. I believe when the presidential elections come, the taller candidate always gets elected. Yes or no? Do you know that it is true that taller candidate gets elected? President Trump was taller than Hillary. But it was not true, because President Bush was shorter than Kerry. And then they also have a saying in Washington, D.C., that if Redskins lost their last home game before the election day, there will be a change of government there. But not true. Green Bay Packers actually defeated the one when Bush got elected. And the Boston Red Sox believe that if their team win the World Series championship in 1918, their candidate run all the way to White House. So no, that was not true either. So you know that you cannot predict the future. There's another funny thing I want to share with you. This is about cookies. I believe the first lady elects, the candidate's wives make cookies and present them to this magazine called Family Circle Magazine. They actually publish the recipe to Family Circle Magazine. And then people try those cookies. Whoever likes the cookies the best is going to be the president of the United States. It is so many ways of doing this. They said that Laura Bush's oatmeal cookies were much more popular than Teresa Hines Curry's pumpkin spice cookies. Well, I personally would have preferred pumpkin spice. But anyway, but Laura Bush was in the White House. Our basic Adventism, our Christianity in general, is we hope for, is year after year, we long for this. We hope, we trust that there is going to be a day when the Lord is coming. It's for sure. And I believe in it with all my might, because so many times when you study too much, sometimes you wonder whether that is correct or not. What is this clouds opening and God coming, you know? But we believe in it because there's so many things that we do not understand. The second coming is always going to be a true story. We live our lives expectantly because the Lord gives us the Sabbath rest. Christians are also known as here and now people. We live in the present. Every day we grow a little bit, right? We grow a little every day. Now, a wise preacher once responded, a bitter woman, resentful, she said that, I wish God did not make me. I wish I had never been made, she said. And he said, no, you're still being made. God never quits. I'm sorry. The technology fails. So Hebrews 3rd chapter 13-15 says, but encourage each other daily while it is still called today, so that none of you is hardened by sin's deception. For we have become participants in Christ if we hold firmly until the end the reality that we had at the start, as it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as in the rebellion. How do we live today? How? We need to encourage one another. We need to love one another. One of the old church fathers, Tertullian, he was a philosopher. He became a Christian. When these pagan people become Christians, they had a reason to become Christians. He actually said that why he became a Christian was because these Christians, the ones that they used to call them people of the way, they demonstrated something I didn't have. The thing that converted me to Christianity was the way they loved each other. He saw them loving each other. That's how he actually saw there's something called love actually between these Christians. That's how he became a Christian and he became a church father later on. And our Christianity also today should be a practical Christianity. Two children were afraid that they would be late for school. One said, let's kneel down and pray that God may help us not to be late. And the other child said, more practical solution, why don't we just keep running and praying at the same time? So our Christianity should be a very practical one. Now we also, today, if you hear his voice, spread your light. The religion of Jesus Christ, it is said that is the religion of light. One of the most splendid descriptions of our Heavenly Father is in the words of John. John 1:5. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. James says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. James 1:17. Now, James' descriptive name for God is the Father of light. And the Lord Jesus declares that those who seek to do the will of God are the children of light. Our Savior never said a more splendid thing about himself than when he uttered that sublime declaration, I am the light of the world. Everywhere in the scriptures, light is used as an emblem of the righteous character of those who are the true children of God. Yes, the religion of Lord Jesus Christ is the religion of life. Today, we all have to learn from the past, but leave the past behind. Look forward to the future glorious day, that Sabbath rest only the Lord is going to give us. But we live in the present as children of light. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. Thank you for teaching us, Lord, through the Bible. Your words are eternal, Father. We thank you. And Father, we pray that you would help us to live like your children every day, not just a Seventh-day Adventist or a Seventh-day Christian, but everyday Christian. To this, we pray that you would keep us all together till you come again in the clouds of glory to give us that Sabbath rest. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.